Great, thank you. So welcome to the Sunday night There is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater and a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome to Joni M., a compulsive overeater from Nova Scotia. And the floor is yours. Thank you. Joni, do you want to unmute? Great. Perfect.
I don't know what pushed it. Oh, there we go. No.
Go ahead, Joni. You're fine.
I'm okay, am I? Okay,
yes,
good
go
enough.
Ahead.
Hi. Let's have the third step prayer. I'd like to start with that, please, because believe it or not, I feel kind of nervous. That's the bondage of self coming in there, having the privilege to speak at this meeting. And naturally, I want it to be the very best talk ever. And it'll be as God directs, not as I direct. So let's have the third step prayer. If you don't know it, it's on page 63 of the Big Book. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. Of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life, may I do thy will always. Well, as I was introduced, I am Joni, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I have been abstinent for 31 years, and I am maintaining a 60 to 65 pound weight loss. I find the best way to go about this, in my experience, has been just to sort of take my story through the steps. I knew there was something wrong with me, but I didn't know what it was. But step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Well, I had tried everything that I knew I could possibly do, all kinds of fad diets, everything else. And I would never be able to take the weight off. Whatever scheme I went on, I always gained that weight back and more too. And the periods in between became shorter and shorter, and the weight gain became greater and greater every time. I got so I was very ashamed to go out in public. And I just had, in the end of it there, I just had three jogging suits that would fit me. And I always had somebody to blame the eating on. I could blame it on how I was brought up, that we were a poor family, and I was the oldest of the family in the family and had a lot of responsibility looking after the younger kids. I could blame it on that. Or I could blame it on my ex-husband, who was, to my way of thinking, an alcoholic. I could blame it on that. I could always blame it on some circumstances. So I always thought, oh boy, if I had somebody that loved me, really loved me, I wouldn't be eating this way. Well, guess what? That person came along in my life, And I was happy as a lark. And I ballooned to more weight than ever before. Because you know what? I got what I wanted and I didn't know what to do with it. I pretty near wrecked that. I pretty near wrecked that too. Except my late husband was very tolerant, and thank God I got to OA is all I can say. Thank God I found out about OA. And when I got to the meeting, I got relief. Now you'll notice I say I got relief. I didn't say I got recovery when I got there. But those were the first people I ever met that ate like I ate, and they would admit it. They admitted it. So I knew there was something with what I was, with what I was doing. I knew that then there was a name for it. And that name was compulsive overeating. I had never heard of such a thing. But I had the privilege of attending another meeting in another fellowship with a recovered person. And I used to think, gee, if there was something like this for people that eat like I do, wouldn't that be great? So when I found out about Overeaters Anonymous, I knew that was for me. So I started going and I never looked back. And I gratefully have been abstinent since day one. But note again, I say abstinent, not recovered. Because when I came, I was willing to do anything. I just couldn't find out what I was supposed to do. All the people at the meeting at that time, this is back in 1993, were very green. And I just didn't know what I was supposed to do. And the others didn't either. And I couldn't see the forest for the trees. I just couldn't get it. Because one time they'd be talking about their cats, and the next time they'd be talking about something else foolish, and I knew I didn't need to come to OA for something like that. But because of this other fellowship and seeing recovered people there, I knew there was something, and I knew we didn't have it in our group. But I kept going, and I got to the retreat that fall. I got to that retreat. And after that, I never looked back because it was there I was introduced to the big book. And after that, I knew what I was supposed to be doing, and I did it because I would do anything, anything to quit that terrible eating. But I was still looking for a way, like they say, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Well, I'll just tell you, I did not have any desire to stop eating compulsively. I just wanted to eat all I wanted when I wanted and be a normal size. Well, believe it or not, that's what has happened. Because those foods that I used to just love, I don't want them anymore. But see, that's the whole thing with the big book recovery. The big book assumes sobriety. In our case, it assumes abstinence. And I was abstinent in those first few months, but I was really going crazy because I don't think there's anything worse than being abstinent and not working the steps. I mean, there could be, I don't know, God knows. But what happened with me was, I was still trying to eat everything in moderation because that's what the other people in the group were doing. And I thought, well, that's what they're trying to do here. So they all said, well, just eat what you want. If you want your candy or you want your cake or something, just eat it at your meals and you'll be okay. Well, I didn't know any better. So what happened was I was embarrassed to ask questions. Because then they would know how stupid I really was if I started asking questions, thinks I. But I finally said, well, look, why is it I'm trying to eat my Easter rabbit and I ate the ears off it one day And then just hit it all effort, putting it down until supper time when I ate the head off it. Then I still wanted it. Well, nobody knew. And I didn't either. See, I didn't know that was something I couldn't safely eat. So then the next thing was, just the normal soda crackers. And if I ate one of those normal soda crackers, I had to eat the whole sleeve. So I said, well, why do I want to do that? Well, nobody knew. But when I got to that first retreat, I found the answers to those questions. Because it's like the big book says, in the doctor's opinion, that these allergic types, so on Roman numeral 28, these allergic types, something to this effect anyway, these allergic types can never safely use alcohol in any form at all. Well, what is my form of alcohol? See, before that, in early abstinence, my food plan was trying to eat these 3 meals a day. Well, I did that. At least I wasn't eating all the time. But after I found out what I was supposed to be doing and realized there are things I can't safely eat, then I had to revise that plan of eating. And that has happened a few times in my life that I've had to revise the plan of eating because things that I could safely eat in early recovery, I can't eat now. And one of those was the whole wheat cracker called the Triscuits or something. I used to be able to eat those, but years ago I had to give them up too because they set in the craving for more. But anyway, that's a small matter in the big ship. I think that's the least of the problems. Was getting a food plan. I went and got some help from a nutritionist. I've had to go back to her a few times because I had some medical issues. So I have to eat a certain amount of grain fiber a day because of that medical issue. And then you know what happened with the eating? I had to go back to get re-educated on a serving. Because I was eating the proper food, but I was eating too much of it. So I had to get re-educated on a serving. And I had always said, I am never going to weigh and measure any damn thing again. Well, today I do weigh and measure a good deal of the time because I lie to myself. And that has helped me tremendously. Knowing what is a serving size, do I measure 100% of the time? No, I don't. I don't. But I do some of the time. So, all right, step one, we admit we were powerless over food. So, why am I powerless over food? It is because my mind and body are at war with it constantly. That's not with all foods. That's with these food alcohols. My mind tries to convince me it's okay to take them. And my body knows I can't eat them because what it does is set in that craving for more. So if all I had to do was let go of these foods and never pick them up again, that would be great. But the secret is how to keep from going crazy without them. That's where the unmanageability comes in. If I wasn't thinking about the food, I was thinking about how to get a bunch of chocolate bars and hide them on everybody else so I could eat them when they all to bed. Or I was thinking going down to the store, live in a country place here, you could tick stuff at the store. That means charge it. You could charge it at the store. Pay at the end of the month. So I'd get down thinking, making the excuse we had to have eggs or something. I'd get down to the store. I'd bring the eggs home, but I'd have four chocolate bars woofed down on the way back and the wrappers hid under the seat. Well, who cared? So this unmanageability, that gets taken care of with the steps. That's how I kept from going crazy. I had to work the steps to have that spiritual awakening so that I wasn't wanting that food anymore. And today I know enough that the steps should be worked quickly. Back then, after I found out what to do, I did work them fairly quickly, but I didn't have the whole gist of it. But then somebody brought us these old Joe and Charlie tapes. And that was another big boon to my recovery, because these were two gentlemen who really studied the big book, and these tapes were big books study. So I don't know if probably younger ones don't know what tapes are, but they're recordings. And anyway, I got to get on here or I'll be using my whole half an hour. So that was it. I'm powerless over food. It was a hard thing for me to admit I was powerless over anything. Because give me anything and I could run it. I could run anything. The only thing, I couldn't control what I ate. No way, no way, no way. And see, back then, I had all kinds of willpower. You think there must be something wrong with my willpower. Well, we know from Bill's story, willpower doesn't work. Self-knowledge doesn't work. Fear doesn't work. Because all kinds of cardiovascular problems in my family. And did that stop me? No. Did not stop me at all. So that's step one. Then came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, restore us to sanity, the step says. Oh, I thought, well, that's easy. I've always been, I know all that stuff. I don't know that. I don't need to know that. I don't need to do anything. I had the worst time with that step. I think I had. Well, I'm neither bragging nor complaining, but I think I had more trouble with that than people who had no idea about a higher power at all. Because you know what my trouble was there? I knew there was a God. I knew there was a God. I prayed. I told other people, oh, yes, I'll ask God to pray for you. Well, the trouble was, I knew there was a God. But I didn't believe him. I didn't believe that he'd be bothered with me. I figured my eating was something I was supposed to manage on my own. I thought that was too trivial a thing to ask God for. I believed God would do things for other people, but somehow I put myself outside that realm. I don't know who I thought I was. God, I guess I thought I was another God, maybe. But I had, so I just did what the step said. I just did what it said. And after a while, everything came around all right. Because I knew there was a God. And I just had to, I came to believe that God would help me too. I just had to ask. Like, he was there all the time trying to give me recovery. What I was doing, I was working for recovery. I knew I was. But yet, I just kept kind of pushing it away like this, just pushing it away because I thought it couldn't be that simple. I just thought there must be something more I have to do to merit recovery. But see, there was never anything else I had to do. All I had to do was accept it. I had trouble accepting. I had trouble accepting the goodness of God. But today, as the result of these steps, At first I used to think, well, I must be going against my religion. This is not just quite what I think is the right thing. But I want to tell you folks that my belief in God today, my belief in the higher power today, has grown and changed so much over the years. And I'm almost 80 now. And I just figure it's going to keep growing and changing. I mean, God is an amazing God. Wouldn't be God if it wasn't amazing, would it? No. So here we are. Step one, we got the powerlessness. Step two, we got the power. You just think of that, pow, prisoner of war. This is what I was when I was there eating all the time. I was just a prisoner of my mind and body, as I say, were at war all the darn time. So where to get this power? Step one is the problem. Step two is the solution. So where am I going to get that? Well, step three, I either had to make a decision to stay back there in that eating and killing myself, or I had to accept spiritual help. That's it. There was about two alternatives. Talks about that very plainly, bottom of page 25 there. I just had to make that decision. Which way am I going to go? Am I going to keep on eating and eating myself to death and then die a miserable, miserable, long, slow, painful death?
10 minutes left.
Are we already up to 20 minutes? Oh, my Lord, I got to move along here pronto. Thank you. Anyway, so here we are. I made that decision to proceed with the rest of the steps. So with step four, the inventory work, I believe in doing that wholeheartedly, the big book way in the four columns. Just that is the most amazing thing ever. And yet it's such a simple exercise. And I was taught to work down, not across. And I know we have a newcomer, but a newcomer there, when you get your big book, you will see those, you will see there, oh shoot, what page is it? 65 maybe. Anyway, the three columns. And then when you turn the page over, you'll see what the fourth column is going to be. And that just helped me tremendously. I did a lot of bawling when I was doing that because there were things I had never addressed. I had really, really carried things for years and years, and I just kept stuffing them down further and further and more. I kept stuffing them down with the food, stuffing them down. And one thing I'll tell you briefly about, I had been sexually abused by older boys and one older person in the family as a kid. And I had carried that guilt with me all those years, I was 48 by the time I got to OA here. So I was 48. I had carried that for 40 years. And from doing that inventory work, and when you get to column four, what was my part in it, sort of thing? Okay. I had no part in that. I was a kid, for God's sake. I had no part in that. So then that's where this sick man's prayer comes in there. You know, this person is spiritually sick. You know, God save me from being angry. Just to realize these people were sick people as well. That was a load off, like I would never have believed, just a load off. So then with step five, admit it to God, to myself and to another human being, the exact nature of my wrongs. Again, very, very good to get that out, share it with another person. And with step six and seven, the defects of character, becoming a hard thing for a stuck-up person like me to admit I had any character defects. I never knew I had any until I came here to OA. I never knew I had any. Didn't figure I did. My only problem was that I was overweight. That was all. So step nine, making amends. That was a biggie. The amends. My mom was already dead by then. She had died very young of heart problems. She was only 51. And I went to mom's grave and I read, and I know she forgave me. I knew that. And then with my kids, the things that I thought had affected them so badly, they didn't even remember half of that, you know? This was really another big load off me with step 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. So my ex-husband, I knew there was something there, didn't know what it was, and didn't know how to go about it because it would injure somebody else that he was involved with, it, all that stuff. So we, again, at a retreat, we had a retreat. She would take people, if anybody wanted to talk anything over with her one-on-one. So I did that, and I asked her about it, and she said, look, she said, before you can forgive anybody, you've got to learn to love and forgive yourself. So she told me this thing to do, and I did it. She said, look in the mirror every day for 30 days and say, I love you, Joni. I forgive you, Joni. I did that. And I don't know, way in the 20 days somewhere, I believed
it. 5 minutes.
And that was a wonderful thing. So then I knew what to do with making amends to my ex-husband. It was very simple. I just wrote him a letter and said, I am sorry for my failure to communicate when we were married. I expected him to know what I needed and wanted, and was a lack of communication. So anyway, I wanted to spend more time on 10, 11, and 12, and I've yapped too long. But see, today, living in steps 10 and 11, 12, that keeps me recovered. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Most of that today is a spot check inventory for me, but there are longer ones that sometimes, and then that's just like a mini 4 through 9, and that just keeps me going. And step 11 to thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. I just do what our big book says. Nightly, every morning and every night, I just do what big book says there on page 86. Do a little writing every night, say what I've got to be grateful for. Was I selfish, dishonest, afraid? Do I owe an apology? That keeps stuff cleaned up. That keeps stuff cleaned up. Then there's nothing building up. You know, program works. It has given me a life far beyond anything I could ever imagine. But with step 12, there's three parts. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. Okay, the spiritual awakening. We tried to carry this message. So that's it. I'm trying to carry the message. I hope it's doing me good to share. I hope somebody else is getting some good out of it too. But we tried to carry this message. What's that message we're carrying? The spiritual awakening that I don't have to eat compulsively anymore. Wow, who would ever thought that? So then to practice these principles in all my affairs, that's kind of a hard part. You know, I just as soon kill people sometimes. It always says that love and tolerance of others is our code. There on 84 says that love and tolerance of others is our code. Well, it's a lot easier to love people than it is tolerate them at times. And that is I just have to always ask God for guidance. In asking God for guidance, am I doing God's will, or what am I doing Joni's will? You know? So I better pass. I think I'm out of time. But another time, if I have the opportunity, I'll try to spend more time on what I do to maintain recovery today, to maintain and grow in recovery. Thank you very much for asking me, folks. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Joni, for sharing your experience, strength, and help.